silently, silently, the first Christmas started. I don't know if you ever thought about it before, but how wonderful it is that God didn't start off by yelling at us. God didn't start out by screaming words of judgment. His first words, of course, creation, let there be light. But then he sent his word made flesh to dwell among us, to speak his heart when we needed it. And sometimes it's hard to hear that in all the din, all the noise that makes up this world. And I hope we can see and hear what it is that God wants to accomplish for us this Christmas. So that's where I'm going to try to go here this evening. Now, I don't know that any of you can see what I see here on my phone. It just looks like sort of a black and white blob, doesn't it? But you know what I see when I look at that? I see the ultrasound of my very first grandson. Yeah. He doesn't quite have my nose, at least I can't tell that from that picture. But we'll find that out. We'll find that out in March. But it's just so interesting. Of course, when the doctor looks at that image, when the technician looks at that image, they see even more than I do. They see, well, you know, the health that's there. They see any concerns that are there. And so I hope we can get our eyes and, more importantly, our hearts trained to see what we need to see. Remember that Christmas song? Do you see what I see? We'll think about it in those terms and see what we can here as we move our way into Christmas. One of the things I think that's so important for us is that what we see, what we look at, really matters, really shapes things for us. And I'll give you an example of that. As I'm driving here, I hear a snap. A rock hit my windshield. I got a Christmas crack for my Christmas Eve little gift. Now, you know, I could look that way. I can, you know, I can see the crack that's there. Or can I also thank God for a windshield strong enough to protect me that that rock didn't come in and hurt me or hurt anybody in my car? And you know, if you and I will do that with all the circumstances that we face in our lives, you start to realize we can see things differently. We can look at this pandemic, which, depending on how you want to count it, we're about to enter into the third year of struggles, suffers, this third wave, Omicron, that's coming in its variant and what it's going to do. All the worries, the upsetness, the struggles, the fears along with that. We can also look with gratitude at what our leaders and what our scientists were able to do, that this time with vaccines, with medications, we're seeing 1/5 the number of lives that were lost the last time there was a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 and 1920, commonly known as the Spanish flu, but whatever the disease was, and scientists try to figure that out, 5 times as many people died around the world from that than what we have faced so far with this pandemic. It really kind of depends, I suppose, in how we look at it and what we see that is there. We can look at our circumstances and we can go, I don't have everything that I want and meat and everything so expensive in the grocery stores. Or we can see in eyes of gratitude, I may not have everything I want, but nobody's going hungry in my house. We have what we need. We're going to have good times together with those that we love. It really, really depends, doesn't it, on how we look at what we're facing, what we're going through, what we feel. I want to get into that more and more, but this idea of seeing Christmas, I hope, we realize it's not just new with us. It was also a part of the first Christmas. At the first Christmas, when the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing, which the Lord has told us about. They wanted to see with their eyes. They wanted to see this promise of God coming to earth, this amazing gift of a child lying in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth. I don't know how many of you saw the wonderful Chosen Christmas special that was out. If you want to search it on the internet, I'm sure there are lots of ways you can watch it for free, like my family did this week. It was amazing to see this very realistic view of what that first Christmas was like. As Mary was going into her labor pains, Joseph was trying to find some way to clean some room inside the stable and literally shoveled away animal manure to make that space. Mary had to take cloths given them by the family whose barn, whose stable they were staying in. Cloths normally used to wrap the legs of little lambs were used to wrap the little Lamb of God. It's really quite a touching story, and it helps us see what that scene might have been like. But it isn't just those shepherds. Also then, when the Magi came, when they heard about this, they said, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." What's interesting, of course, if you remember that story from Matthew 2, is that Herod hadn't seen it. His wise men hadn't noticed it. In fact, the people of Bethlehem didn't even really seem to notice. With all the hustle and bustle that was going on, with the crowds, with the perhaps raised up prices in their situation because of the Roman census that was taking place, maybe a few people saw an opportunity to make an extra buck, whatever was going on in that situation. How many of them really noticed this pregnant woman beginning her labor pains? How many of them really heard the cry of that little baby as he cried out in the night? The word of God, which brought all of creation into existence, just cried the soft, wordless cry of an infant, dependent on his mother, his father, his earthly father, Joseph, for protection and for everything that he had at that point in his life. But the shepherds came to see what the angels told them about. The wise men spotted the sign and came to worship. And if you and I are wise, we also can see that God is entering in to those situations. See, what I hope we will do is that we will not just come here and have a, "Oh, that's nice," Hallmark moment. Sweet to sing the old songs that we know. As great as they are, and a lot of them I bet you and I can sing without even looking at the words, we need more than just sweetness on this Christmas Eve. We need to see things from God's perspective. I try to talk about having a positive attitude, you know, focusing on the good, the pandemic not being as bad as past pandemics. Even though prices are high, we still have money and finances to get through and do what we need to do. But I'm not just trying to put a smile on the situation. I think our focus matters, yes, but even more what matters is God's perspective. Because, you know, if God only came for the good ones, if God only came for the nice people, if God only came to be close to those who already believed in him and trusted him, then Christmas wouldn't be nearly the gift that it is to us here on the other side of the world. God came unto his own, the word tells us, but they received him not. They recognized him not. But those who do receive him, those who choose to see from God's perspective, to hear and take in God's perspective of love, well, we get our hearts changed. We get our eternity changed. We get a hope and a strength that this world doesn't really understand. And so God comes, even when I'm trying to talk about the good moments, you know, the pandemic isn't as bad. It's 5 times less as bad as the other one. Still, there have been 800,000 lives lost. Maybe some of your loved ones and friends. Still, there's struggles and uncertainty, division and pain, and maybe even depression and difficulty in our lives. But when we see from God's perspective, we see he enters into those situations too. I think that's why he chose a messy stable to enter into and why he chose to come into absolute abject poverty, so that he knew that he could lift every one of us from the poverty of our perspective, from the struggles of our hurts and uncertainties, and even at times our anger and our resentment, that he could lift us up to see as he sees. To see through love, to see with hope, to see with the assurance that there's something beyond the struggle and beyond the uncertainty, beyond the depression, and even beyond death. To see that when God was sending his son, what he was really doing was sending love. Love was born in that stable and laid in that manger. And love walked this earth and spoke words and sermons and did miracles. And then love took your place and mine on that cross all the way to the very end, showing the full extent of his love, showing that he came to help the broken and the struggling and the lost. One time before the cross, Jesus said, you know, I didn't come in the world just to help the righteous. A physician comes to help the sick, and the sick know they need it. When you and I know how much we need him, not just to be our Savior once at Christmas, not just to be our Savior once on the cross, but to come into all of our moments and all of our situations, all of our decisions, all of our struggles and temptations, to take Jesus as we go, to take him and his love to help us be strong enough to get through everything. I think about Christmas and being happy times with loved ones. But for some of us, it isn't happy. We're missing a loved one that we have spent past Christmases with. For some of us, we're looking forward to the new year and we're wondering, how am I going to get through this? I don't know if I have the strength in my heart and my mind to endure another year of what these last 2 years have been like. But God came alive in Jesus Christ and walked this earth, and he's still alive, walking with you through those uncertainties, through those struggles, through those difficulties, walking with us in everything we face. And that love is still strong for you. It wasn't just that it was strong as he was on the earth and died upon the cross, but it's still strong because God promises that along with the Jesus who came in the manger, along with the Savior who died as our substitute on the cross, along with the one who rose again from the tomb to show us he has even conquered over our deaths, along with him, he promises to walk along with us, Emmanuel, God with us through the diagnosis and the treatment, God with us through the uncertainty and the running low of money, God with us through all of the struggles, you know, the eyesight dims or the hearing begins to fade or we end up with more wrinkles. It's like the little girl that was talking to her grandpa at Christmas and she said, Grandpa, God made you, right? Mm-hmm. And God made my mommy, right? Yeah. Well, how long ago did he make my mommy? Oh, you know, it's been some time. And how long ago did God make you? Oh, he made me a long, long time ago. And then she took his wrinkled face and held it up next to her sweet young face and said, God's gotten even better at this, hasn't he? God gets even better the more we really let him in. He gets even better to help us with the fears, with the hopes, with the struggles, with the questions. He gets even better. And when we take his love from the manger forward into all those situations, we find that out. God knows what we're going through. He's already there. He already has the solution. And he even has the ultimate solution that if there is some disease on this life that tries to ultimately claim our lives, he says, nope, disease can ruin your body, but it can't take your life. I hold you by my hand. The hand once that little infant's hand in the manger, that hand once pierced upon the cross, that hand that he showed to his disciples when he said, peace be with you. And he offers that same peace to us this Christmas night at Always. So I encourage you, bring Jesus with you into those situations, into those struggles, into those questions, into your needs. Bring him with you and let the peace, the love, all that he came to bring, let that and every situation you face, let his love help you face it. Help you see what you're going through the way he sees it. Help you know that he'll never leave you alone. We go away from the manger, knowing that he will never be far from us, and his love will always be there. So on behalf of my little grandson-to-be in that ultrasound picture, on behalf of my daughter-in-law, oldest son, and my other dear sweet sons and my sweet wife, we wish you and the whole Gethsemane family a very merry, Jesus-filled Christmas. Amen.